Happy 4th of July weekend. It's great to see so many people here. How many have come and you're here on vacation, visiting, or you're here as a guest? Wonderful. Thank you. We're glad to have you. It's, you know, we often think people are on vacation and they're traveling someplace else, but you know what? This is a pretty cool place to live. We could be a destination for people coming here. Don't snicker. I mean, this is Mechanicsburg. I came home. It's a great place to live. We welcome you. This morning we have a special service. All of these have been so special, and I understand Fish Eyes is coming back Wednesday, July 12th at 6 o'clock. If you have not had an opportunity to see the two-man comedy, Peter and Andrew in a 1950s version of the two disciples and their walk with the Lord, it is a great way of looking at the humanness of what it must have been like to be a disciple. If you saw it, it's a great time to invite a neighbor or a friend to come. It's a Wednesday evening, and there's desserts and drinks afterwards. Today we have Bill Ingram and Roxanne Morgan and Mike Bubb and Jim Robinson and Charlie Ryder, and it's a day that we are looking at freedom and those that have put their life out there for freedom, not only freedom in the sense of our country, but as a walk in Christ. The one promise we have is freedom in our life, no matter where we're at. Reminds me of Paul and Silas, who were in prison, and they sang because they were just so filled with a sense of freedom, it didn't matter. And that's what Jesus promises us, that no matter what our circumstances, no matter what our situation, we have freedom. Our body may not be free, our mind may not be free, but our spirit can always be free. I encourage you to read your newsletter. Next week we have Donna Nichols, and she's always a treat. I've put a selfish request in to have it videoed because that's my vacation week. But she is coming, and read and invite. We really are encouraged to have you. Any other announcements that need to be made or would like to be made?
I just want to talk for a few minutes about the Mission Committee. The Mission Committee meets every first Tuesday of the month down in the Orange Room in the youth group, and we would love to have anybody join us. There's room for all. We've made some changes recently. First Church has been so generous to a lot of missions. We support a lot of groups, but do we know them? And do we know where our money goes? So we've decided to, for the next 12 months, concentrate on one mission per month. We will support everybody else, of course, but we're going to concentrate and educate you more on one mission per month. And we'll do that through the newsletter, through bulletin clips, through moments like this, through the mission table. And we ask that you just stop by and pick up some of the information on these missions. But the July mission for this month is Bethesda Mission. Now, I'm sure some of you have already been there, served there, and whatever, but they are a group that really live out the fourth purpose of a purpose-driven life, and that's mission. And I'd like to share with you a little ditty from a woman who is one of the women and children's counselors there. Her name is Faith McCausland. "I joined the mission staff during winter 2004 to provide counseling and teaching to clients. While waiting to be interviewed, I was a bit insecure in the new surroundings. When I first entered the warm living room of comfortably overstuffed couches, I found several women gathered for morning Bible study. One of the women asked me if I would be working at the center. I answered, yes, I hope to be. She said, it will be good to have you. I'm a CDP participant. Do you know what that is? I told her I did not. She went on to tell me with pride in her voice about her time at the mission, her new life in Christ, and her sobriety. This was the first of many things the women would teach me in my work with them. Being employed by the mission is a blessing in many ways. I have a deeper, richer understanding of what it means to both serve and be served. The compassion shown by the staff for the women entrusted to our care is overwhelming at times. The ways in which Christ's love is made manifest are many. Through the volunteers who not only cook but also set the table with linens and flowers, which remind the women of their precious worth in the eyes of God. Through counselors who patiently listen to the brokenness many women have tried to run from, which lead them towards God's forgiveness and tender mercy. Through outings where spirits are lifted and laughter is heard. I'm overwhelmed by the generous outpouring of kindness from a variety of churches. Christian men, women, and youth are often the answer to prayers as they arrive with food, clothing, and a willingness to paint a room or organize storage space. We are grateful for their generosity of time, money, gifts, and prayers. My heart is at rest at Bethesda. Though days and nights are busy, I'm grateful to have found this treasure. This is a ministry of compassion, accountability, restoration, mercy, and grace. This is a home filled with God's love, built by Christians with inspiration, insight, and faith. Working at Bethesda is servant ministry that leans on the everlasting arms of Jesus to see us through each day, give us rest each evening, and bring joy in the morning. And isn't that what we are all looking for, joy in the morning? You know, we're talking today about freedom. We live in a land of freedom. But some people who live in this land aren't free. They're in bondage. They're in bondage to hunger, to fear, to no one to trust. And they are in need of our help. And Bethesda is helping them, and we can help Bethesda. I appreciate you stopping at the mission table and taking a look. Thanks.
Let us pray. God Almighty, God of freedom, you are in control, and what peace that brings to all of us. I pray that you will work through the hands and voices of Tom and Roxanne. You have bestowed them with a wonderful talent, and they so wonderfully share it with us. And Lord, may we never take it for granted. We thank you for the courage of Jim and Charlie and Mike as they're willing to share how faith impacted or how their experience as a veteran was impacted their faith. Speak through them, Lord. Give them courage. As you told Joshua, be strong. Do not be afraid. I will always be with you. And may we have receptive ears and hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This really isn't a program. You're to sing along, okay? Now, because some folks actually prefer the hymnals, when you see the PowerPoint, you're going to see the page number of the hymn. If you would prefer, feel free to open the new hymn book. We have two hymn books underneath your chairs. But otherwise, if you like and you're used to it, use the PowerPoint and you'll see the words. We're going to start with God of the Ages. And by the way, there's Bill at the piano. And we're glad to be here today. Okay? So sing along.
beautiful for spacious skies.
Beautiful. It's like the First United Methodist whole congregation community chorus right here. That was great. We're going to have three veterans speak today representing, it just so happens, different times of war that our country was involved in. Our first speaker is going to be Charlie Ryder, and then as soon as he's done, Mr. Robinson is going to come up and speak from a World War II perspective, but Charlie is going to start us out.
Good morning. I'm humbled to be up here with two great heroes of two wars. I did not serve in a war. I served during wartime, and it was the luckiest thing that ever happened to me other than Flossie. Did I say the right thing, honey? When I was 12, my father died. That may seem insignificant, but I had to support my mother when I graduated from high school, so there was no money for me to go to college. There was no chance for me to really advance myself, and so I had a number of different jobs. I spent 4 years doing that and was deferred from the draft because I was supporting my mother, and she was the wife of a First World War veteran, and so they wouldn't take the only son of a war veteran into the service at that time. This is all part of a God plan. I didn't know it at the time, but I realize how God works in our lives, and he was certainly working in my life. My uncle, who was my mother's brother, came to live with us, and I saw that as an opportunity, not only to break the apron strings with my mother, but to serve my country. And so I went to the draft board, and I said, "Don't tell my mother, but I'm no longer the sole support. We have someone else supporting her." And so about 2 months later, I got a letter that I was being drafted. And so I went into the service, and I served at Fort Lee, Virginia for 2 years. I did a number of different things. I played a little baseball. I served in special services. I I worked in a holding and processing company for troops coming into the quartermaster school. But that's not really, when my children ask me, what did you do in the war? I say, I fought the Battle of the James River. Those of you from Virginia know where the James River is. And that was coming home on weekends. You had to cross the James River. But what did that do for me? It enabled me to get a college education. While I was at Fort Lee, I went to the University of Virginia, took some extension courses. When I got out of the service, I went on to college and became a teacher. At that same time, I also started to work with the handicapped. And I spent the next 40 years coaching and officiating in wheelchair sports and met many, many veterans who had been paralyzed, had amputations, and who spent their lives in wheelchairs. I appreciated the fact that I was not one of those people, but I certainly admired what they could do. And I spent a lot of time working with them and got more out of that than I ever put into it. But the bottom line here is the God thing. Because I became a teacher, I went on to get an advanced degree in administration and wanted to be a principal. My mother had moved to Camp Hill. I came down here, got a job, and would never have met Flossie, would never have become part of this church had I not had that education. And I got it through the GI Bill, and I am very, very grateful to our country because they provided that for me, and especially to this church for being part of my family. Thank you.
I got a little letter from my friends and relatives that I was being drafted, and I've been looking for them ever since. But February the 1st of 1943, I was inducted into the service at New Cumberland. After a couple days, we went to Miami Beach, Florida for basic training. And from there, went over to Fort Myers, Florida for gunnery training. And when I was finished with that, I went to Shepherd Field, Texas to AM school and finished that. Then I got sent to Salt Lake City. You're supposed to be on a delay en route. Don't unpack because you're not going to be here that long. Ended up being there 9 weeks. And from there, I was assigned to a group in Rapid City, South Dakota. Now, my crew was sent to replace the ones that had already been knocked down. And we went to Rapid City for training, and from there, we went to Kearney, Nebraska, and got a brand-new plane, and that was a B-17, and took it over to England, and then turned it over to them. And then I got assigned to the 95th Bomb Group in England, and after a while, we got assigned to missions, and I got 22 in before they got me. I'm trying to think what else to say. Anyhow, when I got shot down, I was engineering top turret gunner on a B-17. And we got hit right behind the bomb bays, which was near the radio operator. And he was killed instantly. And the only thing I remember in the plane was there was fire all over the place. And I was down in the catwalk. That was a little walkway between the pilot and co-pilot. And the next thing I know, I'm coming down the air hanging on to my chute. I didn't wear my chute because I had to go back through the bomb bay to kick out bombs. And the last thing I remember is fire all over the place. And it blew up, and that's how I got out. But I didn't have my chute on. I flew with a harness, so I was trying to get it on, and I finally made it, and came down hanging on one side. And when I hit the ground, there were six Germans there waiting for me. And I didn't know a word of German, so I didn't know what they were talking about. But I got out okay. And from there, we went on a, I went to a camp called Gross Tischau up in northern Germany. And I was there for about three or four weeks. And then the Germans made a, or the Russians made a drive up there. So they moved us out on foot, and we went from there down into Frankfurt again. And that was about a 700-mile walk, all on foot, and sleeping in fields and everything. Other than that, why, everything worked out good, and I made it back.
I served in two wars, Vietnam and Desert Storm. Marge, right after 40 Days of Purpose, after a celebration, Marge was running down the sidewalk to chase me to say she wanted things to happen on July 2nd. And I'm thinking, maybe she needs a softball pitcher or a basketball player that fouls a lot. No, she wanted a veteran to speak on experiences that I had. I first want to read. I had to wake up this morning, and this is one thing that, you know, speaking, it's not my thing. But I looked up the word peace, and it said, "Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in, yeah, it is in dying that we are born to eternal life." My journey in the military started 35 years ago in August of 71 when I joined the U.S. Marine Corps. There was a draft on, and my draft number was 3. I didn't want to go in the Army at the time because I heard they shipped you right out to Vietnam, and I just had a cousin that was killed. A friend came to me one day and convinced me to join with him. It was called a buddy system. Next thing I knew, I was stepping off a bus at Parris Island, South Carolina. I've always gone to church and Sunday school, but needed God's presence now, because this big drill sergeant came on our bus yelling and screaming at us to get the heavens, and of course, he didn't say heavens. He said other words, "Off my bus and get on those yellow footprints." I found him fast. Ooh, can't stop shaking. All through basic training, I prayed to God just to get me through this. I wasn't sure what I got myself into. It was tough and physical. I did lose 35 pounds, a mean, lean fighting machine. I was just a skinny runt. I graduated 2.5 months in the top 10 of my class and received a promotion. My enlistment was over, or was only for 2 years, and never thought I would end up in Vietnam. Then came the day in November 72 where I had to go to Vietnam. I flew to Japan and thought I would be on a vacation. Instead, I was on my way to Vietnam. It was just a 3-week layover. I arrived in South Vietnam for a short visit also. They needed an airstrip built in Thailand, and we were to guard a Royal Thai Air Force base once completed. The runway was for jet fighters to fly out and bomb North Vietnam every half hour. I had many different experiences where I felt God's presence, and he showed me different personalities, races, between black and white people. We were over there to fight for freedom, but almost had a riot. I met a conscious objector who refused to use his weapon. They put him in the brig, that's a jail, for a short time. He ended up then working in the mailroom for the rest of his tour. One moment I felt that I may have to use my weapon to kill a person, but it was a false alarm. We got word that a train full of Viet Cong were en route to our location. Did not really hear any more about this. So in this war, I felt lucky, or God was always protecting me, and that I never fired a weapon at the enemy. I did get to leave the war in July because I had a Pownall cyst on my spine. Imagine no running water. You took your steel pot and then used that as your shower. No running water for latrines, that's restrooms. Dirty and hot, so I may have got a piece of dirt or an ingrown hair that caused my cyst. I was medevaced back to the States in August of 73, ended up at Veterans Hospital in Philadelphia. I did go to one Phillies game. I can't remember if they won, though. I received an honorable discharge in September of 73. Worked construction for a while, but wasn't satisfied with the pay. Got engaged to Becky, the dream of my life, most of the time. My construction job didn't look too good in the future to raise a family, so decided to enlist in another branch of service. Guess what branch? Army. It's a branch I didn't want to go in. November of 74, joined the U.S. Army. Becky and I married in September 12, 75, and for the next 18 years, we traveled all over the world. Belgium, 3 years. Rachel and Matt were born. God was always with us because we found a small church in Belgium where Becky played the piano. Fort Meade, Maryland was our next stop. We both liked to sing, so found a little church in the town and started singing in the choir. Our next stop was Germany for 16 months. During our tour, our daughter, Rachel, 6, was diagnosed with diabetes. And later on, when our son, Matt, turned 14, he was also diagnosed with diabetes. God showed us a way to cope with this disease. We also found a church in Germany. Of course, we sang in the choir. I had already spent 10 years as an enlisted soldier, and was determined to become an officer. So ended up being promoted as a communication warrant officer for the next 8 years. My first assignment as an officer was Fort Lewis, Washington, for 3 years. Of course, we joined a choir and attended a serviceman's home Bible study off post. While stationed in the state of Washington, I had a 6-month tour in Honduras. I prayed that Becky and the kids would be fine while I was gone. I did some dangerous missions in Honduras as a communication officer. I flew in a helicopter to a ship out off the coast of Nicaragua to drop off some secure keying material. I also made a few trips to Panama. I felt God opening up an assignment for me in Panama once I returned to Washington. Sure enough, we were assigned to Panama for 3 years. Of course, in a choir. Left Panama in June of 89 before the invasion to take Noriega. Next assignment was Fort Monroe, Virginia, where we bought our first house. My mother called me up one weekend and asked if I would be going to war. I said the only way that I would be going is if Pentagon or Washington, D.C. would call me. Wrong thing to say. God had another plan. The next week, I received a call from Washington, D.C. that I was to report to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, by that Friday. The unit I was assigned needed a communication warrant because the other warrant hadn't come in yet. She was still in school. So maybe when she got done with school, I would then be released. I wouldn't have to go to Desert Storm. Wrong answer. You know what the saying is, two warrants are better than one. I wasn't too happy, but had to stay. God had a plan for me. While at Fort Campbell, I was helping driving soldiers back and forth to Florida to check on equipment that was being loaded on ships to carry our equipment to Desert Storm. I decided to volunteer to be a supercargo person and sail to Desert Storm. The ship was a commercial Italian cargo ship and took 22 days to get to Saudi Arabia. All of our equipment was to go to Desert Storm by ship. It was railed down to Jacksonville, Florida. The ship had at least 50 Army gas refueling tanks on the deck and also had 5 floors below our equipment. plus helicopters. There were 8 military cargoes on board, no uniforms worn during the trip. There was a ping pong table and a foosball table, so you know what I did most of the trip. We traveled through the Suez Canal around Yemen at night. It was dangerous. The Russians still had guards close to the shore of Yemen. We picked up a Saudi Arabian captain to guide us through the Persian Gulf. If you remember, Kuwait was already taken by Saddam. I didn't try my uniform on until I got to port. Wrong thing to do. 3-course meals a day for 22 days. So many gained pounds. But it was hot, and I knew in a matter of weeks the pounds would be coming off. My unit had just arrived by plane, so I caught up with them. All I had was a communication truck and no equipment inside and no people to help me maintain it. I prayed throughout my journey that I would get 3 things: people, equipment, and manuals. My thought, or God's thought, was to contact some military leaders I knew back in the States to have some manuals shipped to me. The Army supply system wasn't that fast. So I mailed 2 of my past commanders in Texas and Arizona. Within 2 weeks or so at our final destination, I had all the manuals I needed to complete my mission and 4 eager soldiers to assist me. My role as communication officer was to go to different locations and manually key up their radios to make them secure. One day it got very quiet. We were told to don our gas masks and take up a perimeter. Oh, Lord, what? What was going to happen now? Praying was constant, and my heart was always at a fast rate. No noise. Something was going to happen. Well, the air war had just started. Bombing was underway. I was traveling in a Humvee one day, and a loud puff of smoke went off. We donned our masks and got out of there. Tried driving with a gas mask on. Never heard it if it was gas or not. Mail was not the norm for most of us because we were on the move all the time. We traveled on this long road on the border of Iraq. You did not know who the enemy was. Another time, we were alerted that a tank was outside our perimeter. False alarm. We finally reached our last location and started to receive our mail, late mail. You got to see the bombings on TV back here. I didn't see the actual bombing pictures until I got home. I witnessed a submerged baptism service of some fellow soldiers. We also had church services every Sunday. One day at mail call, something came over me that God was really working on me to express my gratitude to the people back home. A stack of mail from everybody in the States came through. Nobody was taking the mail. It had on the envelopes, to any service member or Air Force soldier or Army soldier or Marine, Navy soldier or sailor. I grabbed a handful of those letters and started reading and writing to kids 4th, 5th, 7th grade, grandmothers, and schools. I knew we had all the support from you back home once I read the letters. I always played a Sandy Patty tape and decided to mail a letter to her. But I received those letters back. I still have those 2 letters. Her last name was Heverly, I think, and they had a fire at her place, so I got those 2 letters back. I had heard one soldier receive 5 cases of Red Man chewing tobacco. Well, I like coffee. I wrote to Hills Brothers Coffee. Guess what? I received 5 cans of Hills Brothers Coffee. I needed cream for my coffee. I wrote to PET, P-E-T, Cremora. Of course, they discontinued that brand, so I didn't get that. Also liked Nutter Butter Cookies from Nestle's. Wrote to them, but they answered by saying their cookies were already over there. They weren't at my location, though. So I found some, though. The coffee was great. I still have all the letters and photos. What I did when I can't remember if I did this when I came back, but all the letters that I either wrote, I put in this binder. One of the Those are the Sandy Patty letters. I have something I want to share with you. This first letter was from a girl in Texas. Her name is Angie Matting. And she wrote to any servicemen. So it was one of the letters I picked up. Hi, my name is Angie Matting. I live in Alvin, Texas, about 30 minutes from Houston. I like it down here, and I mean, I don't love it, but I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. So how are you? I'm fine. I'm 14 years old. Well, maybe December 30th I'll be 14. I have a sister that's 7, and it so happens that I got a letter from her sister, too. She has a brother, 17. I go to church every Sunday, Sunday night and Wednesday. I love church. I love you. I love God. I was just wondering, what religion are you? If you ever go to church, have you been saved? If you don't ever know what I'm talking about, feel free to ask me. I'm not going to preach to you, I promise. Other things I like to do is shopping, writing to people, and receiving letters, talking and getting to know people. I presently like this guy named Chris. He's 16. I met him at church camp. Let's talk about you. How old are you? Could I have a picture of you? Are you married? Have a family. I would really appreciate if you would write back to me. So where do you live? What kind of car do you drive? Oh, my gosh. I've driven so many cars the past couple years. So I just wanted to tell you that I envy you a lot. I wish the world was made of more people like you. I want to thank you for defending your country. My dad was in the Army. He was bad. He went AWOL about 4 times. Could you please explain to me how things are there? Well, in this letter, I'm going to give you a little coupon thing, and it's for you just, when you get bored, you just read the little 3-page booklet, answer the questions, and send it to me. And if you do 7, you'll get a certificate. It's from our church. They're fun. I would appreciate it if you would just try. Well, gotta go now. Write back soon. Answer all my questions. Could we be like real pen pals? And then she gave me her address. And she also gave me a picture of herself. So this is her sister, Marty. I'm Angie's sister. It is hard being in the U.S. Army. My dad was in the Army. My dad's name, and she told me her dad's name. I'm 8 years old, and I'm saved and baptized. Are you saved? Tell your friends I sent this letter. If you want a picture of me, here it is. And she sent me a picture, too. My birthday is in December. I was born in 82. I have a sister and a brother. My brother's name is Douglas Ray Matting. He's thinking about joining the Army. He went to Iowa with his girlfriend, Jamie. Write back, P.S., God loves you, and so do I. And that's from Marty. I received a letter then back from Angie. Hi, it's me, Angie. I was really happy to hear from you today. I'm really sorry about you going into the hospital. The reason I went into the hospital is because when I first got the Desert Storm, you're supposed to drink the water. Well, I didn't drink enough water, so they pumped in probably about 1,000 liters of liquid in me. So, well, I guess I must really be hard being separated from your wife, kids, me, your daughter. So happens that her daughter's only a couple days or like a month older than my daughter. My sister wrote to you because she likes your last name, Bub. I think it's really neat that the first time I wrote, I met 2 Christians. That's really neat. I've been saved for 4.5 years. In your letter, you said you pray for peace, not war. That really touched my heart. I realize that most people over there want peace, not war, but not everyone prays for it. Well, could you tell me the difference between Methodist and Baptist? My dad, and then she said about her drive, her dad drives a Mercury, her brother drives a Buick. God hasn't given us a brand new car, but he has given us a house, food, clothes, and money to live on. Well, I guess I'll close for now. Hope to hear from you soon. Another girl from the same town wrote this letter, which knows these two girls. Do you remember Angie? And when she wrote this, she's in charge. Well, I got your address from Do you remember Angie Matting? Well, I got your address from her. I'm 11 years old, and I have a 7-year-old brother named Jake. He's a real butt. My mom and dad are 37. It's good that you are a Christian. I'm Baptist. When you get a picture of yourself, send it to me, okay? Did it hurt when they pumped 1,000 liters of water in you? I didn't feel it. I just wanted the water. Well, can I ask where you are? Have you ever heard of Hershey, Pennsylvania? I've only read about the place. Well, gotta run. Wait a second. Do you have any special word you say? For example, I say y'all, and I'm a Texan. What do you say? Bye for now, your pencil friend, because I write in pencil. And this is Sarah Goldsham. Oh, boy. We had so much support. You knew God had a plan for us. These memories will always be with me, and also the person I touched when I sent a letter out to them. Without God's love and support, I don't think I would have made it over there. At night, I would look up at the stars and ask God to protect Becky, Rachel, and Matt. He always gave me a sign that things were okay. I could always see stealth planes at night flying over on their bombing runs. We were called to a meeting one night and was told that we would be heading into Iraq and then move toward the city of Kuwait. We were to follow the tanks from the 101st Airborne Unit on day two. God had another plan. As soon as the ground war started on day one, it was over. The Iraqis started coming out of their fox or sand holes and surrendered. All the Iraq soldiers were just left out there in the sand by Saddam. Half of their equipment the Iraqis had was unusable. Plus, they were hungry. Saddam was left them out there to die. The war was over in less than 100 hours. Needless to say, our unit did not move toward Iraq. Again, I did not fire a weapon in this war. God did protect all of us. I left my unit in April and came back to the States with a warm welcome to see the people I love, my wife and children, of course, but most of all, you as American people. God always has a plan. God has a plan for each one of us. I feel God's plan for me is to be in choirs, Sunday school teaching, and sharing his word. God has a way at some point to allow you to share your feelings and memories. Hopefully I have touched someone's heart in a way that will lead him to God. My life has been full of fellowship with other Christians throughout the world. I still keep in contact with those Christian friends. Thank you for allowing me to share my journey with you.
I'm going to throw the PowerPoint people way out of whack here. We're going to go to God Bless the USA. Mike Bubb had one request, and that was, I said to him, did you have a song that speaks to you regarding your service? And he said, God Bless the USA. So you're going to get the opportunity to sing it. It's going to be on the overhead, so please, we'll sing that together.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again. family in my life. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the clouds still stand for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died and gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, why don't you stand when you sing that? Don't you feel like you should? And I'm proud to be an American.
With a patriotic salute. Bill is going to share something that he found, and my husband Steve is going to do a reading quickly, and then we want to salute all the veterans in the room today. Bill, do you want to introduce this?
I just want to tell Mike, when they'd had the draft lottery, my number was 358 out of possible 365. I remember going back to college in the fall that year, and the dean called us in and said, if you have a draft number of 50 or less, you might consider dropping out of college, because chances were you're going to get drafted. Anyway, I didn't get to serve my country, but I certainly admire everyone who did. A couple years ago, I had a chance to work on a show called The Civil War. It was a Broadway musical, actually. It didn't do too well on Broadway, but it does get done frequently around the country. And I think Gettysburg is now doing a version of that as part of their tourism. It was exactly 143 years ago today in Gettysburg, 20,000 soldiers were killed. The weekend of July 1, 2, and 3, in Gettysburg, there was about 51,000 soldiers killed from the Union and Confederate Army. And it is just 25 miles down the road. I thought we'd do a song that's associated with the Civil War with a reading from Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. And then we're going to go to the next song. But Steve Morgan's going to do that reading as I play the song that was used for the Civil War TV series. Steve?
The world will little note, nor long remember, what we say here. But it can never forget what we did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave their full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that the government of the people, by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Do if you have served in a particular branch of the armed forces, we're going to sing the songs that represent each one of those branches. Please stand up and let us say thank you. All right, I'm gonna try not to cry. Armed forces first.
Off we go into the wild blue.
Song. Any army vets here?
Over here, over there, we have hit the dusty trail, and those caissons go rolling along. In and out, hear them shout, count them marching all about, and those caissons go rolling along. For it's hot, crazy, in the field artillery, count out your numbers loud and strong.
2, 3, 4, hop! 2, 3, while we're our Navy people, anchors away, my boys, anchors away. Farewell to college joys, we sail at break of day, 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 through our last night on shore. Hail to our roar, until we meet once more, here's wishing you
halls of Montezuma has always represented our Marines.
All right, there we go.
From the halls of Montezuma to the shore. In the air, on land and sea, as we fight for life and freedom, and to keep our proud to claim the title of United States Marines.
Any Coast Guard? Let's go right to Glory Hallelujah, all right? All right, let's do this. I'll switch on Bill. Let's do a... Bill, what are we doing now? I love this song. Glory, Glory Hallelujah.
Glory, glory,
thank you. to our vets, and we are soldiers of Christ. Our battle still remains. God bless America. Please recognize him. There you go. And thanks to our vets today for speaking. Thank you.